The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Ticket Stock. And it is Wednesday, the 27th of September, 2023. You're on Johnny Boy.
What's about here, Dan?
You feeling the cold?
Yeah, I'm a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Get heating them.
Yeah. Whoa. What kind of heating are you using? Are you using fossil fuels? Gas?
Absolutely. Well, I live in the country. It's oil-based. It's a tank.
Oh, okay.
No gas. Right. No gas network here.
Yeah, well, listen, I've said today, because there's a new big oil film given the go-ahead, and, just off Shetland's there, and it's going to be a biggie, apparently. It could be 44,000 barrels of oil per day, and, people say, is this good or bad? Of course, you get the renewables lot saying it's bad, all pro oil and gas saying it's good. But so anyway, if you're watching, after you hit that subscribe button, give us a comment. Is this a good decision or not to give the go-ahead to this? Let me know in the comments, please. Is it a good decision to keep going, keep exploring for oil and all that stuff? One of the arguments is energy security. I don't see how that stands up, really, because oil and gas is the international market. It's not sold to us. And in fact, one of the arguments is that most of that oil and gas will be sold abroad anyway. So surely truly, true energy security is producing your own in fields, in the country, like wind and all that, and supply it to yourselves. That's energy security, isn't it?
You would have thought so. There was another report out yesterday, actually, from the... No, who was it? I've lost it now. The Oxford... Oxford Smith School of Enterprise and Environment, they said that by 2050, wind and solar could provide more energy than the highest energy demand forecast for that year. So, that seems to be how you get energy security.
Yeah, 2050.
2050, not far away.
Well, yeah, I'll probably be dead by then, I will.
Oh, just...
if I'm lucky in this market. Do you think we're in a bull market by then? God, I tell you what, it's depressing, this market. In fact, those are the markets right there, the indices. FTSE down, 250 down, 250 down, all shit. Down, it was only a third of 1% most of them, but the AIM All Share was up a tad just before we went live, but it's not now, it's gone down. So, what are the fallers here? Hey, Johnny Boy, Ocado, it's falling.
It bounces around like an AIM minnow, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it does, yeah. This is a bit worrying. I looked at this chart last night, the S&P 500. I mean, that's the all-time high in the S&P 500 in 2022. And you can see it's breaking down over the 50-day moving average here, and we have this big bear market happening. It's happening again. It's breaking down. Look at this. It's breaking down over the 50-day moving average. We're not far off the 200-day moving average. Now, when you get a previous high and it breaks down over the 200-day moving average, it's not a good sign. And there's a lot of situations in America that they're starting to say they're going to raise interest rates more. There's the government shutdown.
Government shutdown is a big worry. It's every year.
I know. It didn't happen recently, though. I'm sure it was a few months back.
It happens
all the
time.
No, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling. No, go up the wire. Okay, let's raise the debt ceiling.
Well, it's just a bit of an opportunity for them to sort of do some political bartering, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Union Jack has some good news from them. UJO, talking about oil.
Yeah, it's an environmental permit. Permit to use oil-based drilling fluids. It's an onshore field. So that's good news for them. It doesn't own a huge amount of it. It's about 17% of it, but nevertheless.
Let's look at what else is here. Piraeus Investment Company, of course. Share price highlights, unrecognized portfolio potential. I've never looked at the chart of Piraeus, I think. It's like Penny. Oh, yeah. Investment companies.
Well, they're essentially, as I said before, they sort of trade like they're investment trusts in it's all intents and purposes. So, you have a share price and then a value of the assets or, whatever's reported as the value of the assets. And, in both Piraeus's case, and there's another investment company report today, River Fork Global Opportunities. River Fork, I think both of them, in fact, hold a company called Smart Tech 24.
Yeah.
24/7, sorry, which floated. Towards the end of last year, and that's had a really good run. So, that's actually sort of a listed investment that's really sort of helped boost the value of their net asset value. But what's happening is, sentiment in sort of certainly the more growth oriented end of the investment trust market has been poor. So a lot of these investment companies will be trading, their shares will be trading below the value of assets.
Yeah.
And you know, if you believe that the gloom is overdone, then that presents quite an interesting buying opportunity.
Okay.
I was just going back to the US market. I think there was a really good piece from a guy I read every day, John Authors. He writes for Bloomberg. And basically, you know, the rally we've had, you know, since October has really been driven by mega cap tech, you know, the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
And in particular, you know, AI. AI has been the froth there. And, you know, arguably everyone's got a bit carried away with this. So, you know, US valuations, particularly those big tech companies, started to really expand once again. And the revenues seem quite slow to catch up. And NVIDIA had some amazing numbers because obviously its chips power the machines that you need, you know, with the capacity to do the processing behind AI. But yeah, I think maybe that bubble was a very short-lived one.
Yeah. Old Dog says, if we're heading towards a greener, cleaner world, how on earth is a good idea to drill for more oil? Yeah. In fact, oddly, Labour said that they wouldn't revoke this if they got into power, the licence is granted. I suppose you can't. They say it's going to create 1,600 jobs. But, you know, you can't. If you're going to invest in it and, you know, and start creating and developing that field, you can't just come in halfway through and say, so, right, we're pulling the licence. You know, you can't do that.
No, Labour are, you know, between a rock and a hard place with this policy, really, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, exactly. What's happened now if Labour get in? They did say they're going to revoke the EV, you know, extended deadline that Rishi Sunak has said, 2035. So it's going back to 2030. We're going to be a laughing stock. This country is a laughing stock.
What I find so frustrating, we are sort of straying into politics here, is, you know, these are so-called wedge issues and, you know, they are essentially being politicised, you know. These things are fundamentally important to you know, the economy, you know, the environment, and they should be debated appropriately, and they're just not. They're just used as political positioning.
Yeah, they are. I mean, let's be honest. Rishi Sunak only did that to try and get votes to win the next general election. It was ultimately political. He doesn't care about people struggling to get new gas boilers. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't give one jot about that. And in fact, look at this. Have you seen this? I said yesterday, it just creates uncertainty for business investment. And in fact, you know, people will suffer. And in fact, see this, the HS2 guy, construction firm boss, said he would be cautious about taking on future government projects amid doubts over the rail lines if a future. He said rising costs, speculation whether it will be cut, Birmingham, Manchester. And he said, you know, very rare, but he said it gets stopped, schemes get stopped with this. But he said, that's exactly it. All businesses want is some kind of certainty. You know, if that's even if the outlook isn't that good, they can plan for it. If it's changing all the time, you can't plan for anything. Yeah. Give up and go home. So changing the rules, playing football against a couple of guys, they change the rules every go. Or take my ball home. Otherwise,
HS2 is a funny one because, you know, so much has gone into it. But there is almost this temptation to keep spending and finish it. Which would be sort of my inclination, but there is this, you know, there's the counter argument, the sunk cost fallacy. Just because you've invested so much into something doesn't make it worthwhile to continue investing into it.
I had a good comment. I don't know what it was on, but someone says, why didn't they start from the north and start building down? Because there's a north that needs connection. And if you look at productivity, London as a city, the productivity is good. But up north is not, because it's not, the infrastructure is not there. It's not connected in that way. And so if they started building from the north down, do that. It's fine. There's plenty of infrastructure down south. You know, you've got the tube, you've got Crossrail, you've got everything. There's nothing up north really like that, you know. So start in the areas that are struggling and build downwards. But no, start London first. Anyway, let's talk about travel and all that stuff. Seta came up with some good news today. Seta confirms e-drive supplier from mainstream Indian light commercial vehicles. We talked about this. They are refocusing, they've said. They're going to put on hold the marine and all that side of it. And they are, because they've got contracts now happening with these OEM clients in India. And it says here the purchase order at the moment, $420,000, first 3 months. But they say target volumes indicated by the client for the first year of production is expected to generate revenue for Seta in excess of $11.2 million. So that's good news, isn't it?
It's great news. You know, the hits keep coming for this company. And, you know, I think when it announced this sort of strategic reshuffle, I don't think the market sort of really woke up to it. straight away. But you know, this is vindication of that. And mm-hmm. yeah, you've got to think, you know, in these countries, you know, it's talking about Asia and India in particular being its target markets, you know, you are seeing, you know, massive urbanization. And the last thing you want in urban areas, really, think about this, you know, the 15-minute cities in the UK are, you know, masses of, you know, petrol-guzzling motors driving around. You know, and in fact, you know, you could sort of small light vehicles, tuk-tuk type things are already very popular forms of transport in Asian cities. And so I think it's a very good strategic decision. Well, I suspect we will. I suspect we will at some point.
Guys. Yeah. But the chart isn't, some reason the chart isn't believing this. We said a series of higher lows here. It did dip down when they talked about this refocusing. And even now with this today's bounce, it hasn't quite gone back into that trading range. A 200 moving average is there. It's struggling to get above that. So I don't know why the market isn't believing that for some reason.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's still fairly heavily loss-making.
Yeah.
And you know, so there is that sort of race to profit. You know, it's they're making all the right moves. They're making all the right moves. Shares up 25% today.
Do you know what? It's a good trouble. Is that the market at the moment is awful. Like if you just go to for example the AMOL share, we are literally points again now off the bottom. There we are. Look at that. That's the bottom. Recent low at 729. We are at 730. We're one point off the low. And this is getting, I mean, it's hard to continue to be bullish, but 751 days in, 44% down, and that's where we are. So a lot of companies are not reacting. People are risk averse, and it's had many knock-ons in the market, of course. You know, when people sell even funds, those funds then have to redeem, you know, sell their shares and stocks. So you've got interest rates going up, you've got QT happening. Mm. So literally, we are swimming against the tide here. When is the tide going to change? You know, it's hard work. Another frustrating one today. I mean, I interviewed XP Factory, okay?
They're up a little bit, aren't they?
What?
They're up a little bit.
Wow, 1.5%. Have you seen the results?
That's a win, Justin. Take it as a win.
I know, but look at the results here. But even, you know, of course, they've expanded their boom battle bars and escape rooms. But even like for likes, up 20%, you know, on existing escape rooms, which still have the original games in, from like 5-6 years ago, still as popular as ever, you know, expanding like and they are. And their forecast, top line, I think it is, over 52-53 million this year. And that's because last year they're largely opening these doors, then get it running. There's a lot of, you know, operational stuff going on. But now most of them are fully open, ready to go. And of course, we're heading into party season. Literally, we are less than 3 months away from Christmas. Literally, in 3 months' time, John, it'll all be over. It's day after Boxing Day in 3 months' time. So,
thank God for that.
You know, like you said, Richard did say, you know, we've done very, very well in the first half of the year, even with some very nice weather, because, of course, people want to spend outside and some strikes and all that. But we are heading into now the second half of the year, which is heavily weighted towards that part of the year with corporate bookings up and all that stuff. And then what do you get? It's like a 1.5% move. Come on. This is the market. It's like, and sentiment is against, you know, leisure anyway, but experiential leisure, you know, competitive socializing like they do is new. I think it's a structural change in entertainment, because I think it'll be around, it's not a fad, it'll be around for a long time, I believe.
Yeah.
But the share price isn't just reacting. And that's happening with a lot. It's so frustrating.
I suspect there's a lot of people out there who've never used one of these escape rooms. I never have. Or thrown axes in a boom battle bar. So
try boom battle bar, because honestly, axes is okay, but shuffleboard is different.
Yeah, that's what you like, isn't it? But it's so there's a big market for them to grow into. Lots of openings ahead. What I noticed that, you know, they do have quite a not aggressive, but certainly ambitious opening schedule. But they're doing it very prudently and trying to, you know, obviously at a pace consistent with cash generation. Which is, you know, it's exactly what you want to see. Not taking on massive debt for a big rollout story. I like it.
No, it is good. I mean, sooner or later, it will react. And it will. People will realise is very good value there, especially going forward now this year, where they are, like, literally, you know, they spent a decent amount of money, you know, opening stores, opening bars last year. And this year now, they're pretty much all fully done. They are still opening up a few, but not as aggressive as they were.
International expansion as well. I noticed they opened open a bar in Dubai.
Dubai's doing well, yeah, and they're looking elsewhere.
So that's interesting.
Reece says new oil fields are opening and existing operators are struggling. Look at IOG, for instance. Okay. Fredo 300 afternoon. Sean, we need oil. Either we get it from places like Saudi or Iran, etc., which then has the added environmental issues of transporting it, or we get it locally. Hudson says, I agree with Sean. We need oil. It's better that we produce it. Maybe it is, but it doesn't come to us. I mean, honestly, you, like I said, most of that oil won't be sold to the UK. So there's still the environmental problems of transporting it. So that when you hear, that's another thing, a lie the politicians say about, oh, it's our energy security. It's better we get it from our fields than Russia. Okay, we won't buy it from Russia probably, but we'll buy it from elsewhere. And if you look at it, yeah, and there's actually all barrels go. It won't be just UK. It'd be everywhere. The majority going elsewhere. So it's a bit of a fallacy that you used to get close to your shores. Is going to come onshore.
Well, it's one of the reasons why the energy crisis was you know, so deep over here, because a lot of the, you know, things like LNG that could have, you know, really dampened the effect of rising gas prices just went to the highest bidder, and that highest bidder is, you know, on the other side of the world. China's stockpiling oil at the moment, quite significant.
Okay. Yeah, but again, in fact, look at the chart there. By the way, Steve, we all want greener worlds, but at the moment, don't have the infrastructure or money required. Yeah, all will be much needed to bridge the gap. Hudson says, yep. I bet Hudson, do you own some oil and gas shares? I bet you do.
I agree about the infrastructure. I mean, there are, you know, we major
need infrastructure. Problems. Yeah, but if you continue with oil exploration, it'll just slow down that transition and slow down actual, real energy security for us. That's what's happening, you know?
No, so this report I alluded to earlier, the Oxford report. Oxford School of Enterprise and the environment, you know, they point to barriers to rolling out renewables. The grid isn't up to scratch. You know, we do need advanced battery storage, although we are seeing that from companies like Invinity. You know, there are still massive planning issues. And, you know, it's only been very recently that the sort of moratorium, as we spoke about, on onshore wind has been, you know, effectively lifted. So the infrastructure needs to be put in place. You know, charging infrastructure for EVs is pitiful in this country. Yeah. Pitiful. Particularly from the you know, major petrol groups.
It's not, look at this, as natural gas here. It's not, this is it's fallen off a cliff, look, you know, from 10 MBTU to 2.9 or 3, but literally it has that. That's a good trader thing. That's going to spike up. If it gets above that sort of 2.9 level, if you're a trader, spread bet or whatever, I think it's up 9% today. But it's gapped up. I don't know what reason for that. I don't know. Is there something going on? Why would gas gap up like that? But that may move. But as I said, Brent, look at that. It's breaking. I did it. I think it was going to roll over. But today, it's breaking 95. It's getting up to a real high again now. So, you know, well, I don't know. It's
geopolitical games.
Yeah, that's not going to help inflation. Sean says, do XPF repeat customers? Yeah, I mean, if you look at all, I mean, games there are in a boom battle bar. You know, I mean, how many times do you go to the pub once and say, oh, I've been to the pub, no, I'm not going again. I've done it. No, it's the same as that.
It's quite expensive. It's quite expensive, though, isn't it?
It's not that expensive. It's the pint's the same prices, but you can choose to play games. Yeah, but what are you going to do? Just drink yourself silly or have a bit of fun? And with escape rooms, for example, there's six different games and also the virtual reality game. So there's no lack of, and you don't need huge penetration in the market to make it successful. Anyway, the model isn't in question. You can see the revenue generation going on. It's just the reaction in the market is annoying. That's all I'm saying. Okay. So the front page here of what else is on? John, any else coming?
Well, it's Piers and Rockefeller that I mentioned. Union Jack Oil, I mentioned. Fidel is quite. Quite a newly listed company, it was April, and it does intellectual property protection for large brands. It's a software company. So there's a write-up there from Paul Hill and an interview.
Okay, intellectual property, that's quite interesting. 29 million market cap, half year report.
Yeah.
I've done that. Okay.
So it's brand abuse, you know, where brands are being misused, logos, that sort of stuff online.
We've heard a lot about brand abuse recently, haven't we?
Oh dear. anyway, changing the subject very quickly. Fidel is a company that does helps large companies protect their online intellectual property.
His
customers are obviously very happy because it has lots and lots of recurring revenue.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, Avin Trans as well. What's happening? Did they drop their thing? But
Part
of Avin Trans. If you look back longer term, look at that chart. That's a cracking chart, isn't it? Quid to 4 quid since 2016, pretty much.
Yeah, buy and build specialist into the niche areas of engineering. So it does bits of nuclear, bits of energy.
Yeah.
It does things low level waste storage boxes for Sellafield, for example. But Paul's very excited. Paul Healy's very excited about the prospects for his medical division. Yeah. So it's bought one company outright, and it's bought a very large stake in another. And sort of between them, they're sort of very threatening to disrupt this X-ray market. Both for sort of small injuries.
The miniature type of stuff, and the miniature scans and all that stuff.
But basically, Paul's thesis is that you've essentially got two companies in here for the price of one.
Yeah.
The medical division with the prospect to be, to essentially double the size of the company. And, it's a good operator. This buy and build strategies are good. Bolt on and consolidate and target niches where there isn't enormous amounts of competition.
Yeah. Oxford Biodynamics is the most followed company there. We did say yesterday, I said that PSE test they got is a game changer. If you look at the... And if you look at the chart as well, but if you look at how it improves the PSE test, or the PSE improves it from 55 to 94%. That's amazing.
I said something yesterday.
So yes, that's a game changer. That's correct. That's a game changer. Of course, it would be correct if they've stated it there. But if you look at the share price, it continues to rise today, and that's literally from we got a 156% rise yesterday, and now it's up another 30% a day. That can happen, on minute micro caps, and it's gone from it was like sub 20 million. Now it's what is it? It's over 40 million now.
It's nearly 70 million.
I got 50 million.
Wait a minute, I've got a different number here. I've got 70 million. Interesting.
Well, okay.
Something's going on here. There's something going on here.
54 million on
trading. It's got another product. It's basically built on this platform it has called EpiSwitch, and it's building various tests off the back of this. And one is for, my appalling grasp of biology and science will be on show here. But it's kind of called a checkpoint inhibitor response test to check against immune checkpoint inhibitor therapies, which I don't know what they are, but I'll need to check. But it seems that this platform works. You can go on its website and order this test, PSE test. I can't find any forecasts.
Do you know what? I literally spent an evening researching this company about 3 weeks back. I bought some shares of Lung Life, and I was looking at other areas because I just looked at how big the market was for cancer, how many people kills, the bigger problem it is. And like with any business, what's the biggest problem to solve? And literally, it's cancer, heart disease and cancer, and then dementia is the top three killers. And you can't really do a lot with heart disease because it's largely a lifestyle thing, so you have to change someone's lifestyle pretty much. But with cancer, of course, you can cure it. And it's still one of the biggest killers. Anyone's got a solution anywhere in the cancer market is quite big. And I took me to their website and I was researching it. And I just thought, okay, I can't like this stuff, but they're burning cash. They raised some money then, and I didn't took my eye off the ball, and it went berserk.
It has. I mean, it's maybe it's one of those companies where there are lots of companies that are poorly researched.
Yeah.
In this case, on the platform I use, can't find any forecasts. And in fact, on Research Tree, there's not a lot of not that I've got through my subscription anyway. I can't see any numbers. Very obviously, and where you have companies that are under research, that's potentially where you can find some real sort of hidden gems. It's that information vacuum where sort of small companies, as you say, you can find real bargains, hidden gems. It's not a small company.
No.
But there's a lack of information. I think that might be why we're seeing these sharp moves.
Yeah. Rasofoff. I can't never say your name, but Any chance you could ring a bell whenever an AIM-listed company makes its first ever profit? Okay, well, XP Factory will do this year. So there we are. And that's through, you know, big expansion, you know, a lot of expansion there going on. So that's very good. It's very, you know, they've kept an eye on costs there. Energy is linked to inflation, yeah, e.g. food production. The more energy we have, the lower inflation will be. Yes, but the cheapest energy, honestly, is wind and solar. It's cheaper than oil and gas. And people seem to not realize that. Gregory says, well, at least a new oil helps employment, adds to the tax revenue. Yes, that's it. This is happening. It's just political stuff. This is happening. But would appreciate your thoughts on Motley Fool. They're offering access to ship opportunities for a fee. I know. Well, that's their business model, you see. They'll write up a little article and they'll say, for some fantastic shares, which will get you amazing returns, just sign up here. And that's, and you sign up to a subscription model. And let's be honest, you know, some may be okay, some may not be okay. It's like any tip service, really. Think Oxford has got more legs in it, Gregory says. What are your thoughts? Great show, Chris says, as standard chaps. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. But what are your thoughts on the impact of Safer Banking Act on UK cannabis companies, if it passes, of course, a potential ripple in the UK? Do you know what, Chris? Please enlighten me. I'm not aware of the Safer Banking Act on UK cannabis companies. Are you, John?
No. I'll have a dig around.
Yeah,
I've got quite a few listed cannabis companies, so
yeah,
definitely worth getting scripts of that if it is an issue.
So just looking at the front page again, just looking at what's been read. XP is number one. Union Jack, we covered that. Seattle, we covered that. Pantheon, the commencement operations, they're drilling the re-entry of Alkaid-2 well. Destiny, they're going to be doing a presentation on their XP pipeline, and it's a cracking pipeline. I mean, there's been a weakness in the share price of late, but listen, this is honestly, it's a huge potential there. Even the XP pipeline, probably $5 billion worth of sales there. Amigo, I don't understand Amigo. It's rising here. Basically, it said they're going into insolvency. It's just a bounce, is it, or what?
It's a bounce around. It's fine. I mean, it's loans, isn't it? It's sort of...
Yeah, I mean, they've been under the cosh for a long time, like, you know, regulatory cosh. But if you look at Amigo's share price, I know the people ramping this for a while on Twitter. I thought, leave it alone, will you? Look at that. I mean, look at that share price. It's gone from 280 to 0.46.
Yeah,
and so every now and again, there's a death roll, and when a patient is in ITU, and they literally beep, and they come clear, and they try and kickstart it. That's what's happening here. That's all it is. They try to kickstart it clear, and they're putting the old things in your chest.
Yeah, it's not a kind of. It's if you want to trade those sort of things.
Yeah,
go ahead, but it's not an investment.
Card Factory was down quite a bit this year. They ended up just 10% down.
Yeah, again, that's a horrible, you know, horribly punished for what were some strong results. I think, again, I was looking and people seem to have taken fright at the dip in online sales. But a lot of people took it as an opportunity to add because it's a quality operator. And the numbers were good.
Yeah, Planet Healthcare is one of the fallers. Tasty, and in fact, Graf
Tasty's Polymer. Numbers were horrible.
Yeah, they weren't tasty.
Very unpalatable.
They made you want to vomit. Into Graf Polymer, this is the thing in here. So revenue of $240,000, down 27%, operating loss of $1 million.
You know what the problem is.
$500,000. I think, a bit of a struggle there.
Yeah, there is the problem.
Yeah, and to Tasty, like I said, they do say here, you know, they own some restaurants, and I did look on the website, the restaurants, and
I can't remember who they had.
Dim tea and stuff.
Oh,
revenue
Dim tea,
down, yeah, just a impair. But it's just a gloomy outlook here, and they do say, you know, if you look at it in these uncertain times, we continue to remain cautious in our approach. Retention of staff and cost control is a key. It's like you want some sad music over this. I think it is hard. And they say the cost of food has gone up, everything. And cost of staffing has gone up. This is inflation, isn't it? You know, ends, you're being squeezed. If you are producing stuff, food and all that stuff, first of all, the energy you cooking it costs you money. That's gone up. It's come down a little bit now. But food prices have gone up. Then the amount people are willing to pay has gone down. And the amount they visit the restaurants has gone down as well. So they've been really squeezed at both ends, Tasty, I think. You know, it's hard work for... That's why if you're a stock picker, you have to try and find companies that are not in that space, not being affected by the consumer.
Well, I'll tell you, this sort of makes me think back to Comptoir, which we discussed the other day. And, you know, when you contrast their numbers with the ones Tasty have delivered today. Come to us, you know, blew the lights out, really, in what was a very tough period. So, you know, there will be a bounce back in consumer spending. And as you say, some restaurants and bars will find themselves better positioned, more appealing than others. And I do think that the Comptoir is worth another look, because they, as I said, they seem to have traded pretty well through what's been a very, very rough period.
I just think sentiment is against any leisure. I mean, if you're going to go for a leisure stock, genuinely, you know, I think something like XP Factory, they are growing. You know, it's like-for-like sales are growing, you know, they're not struggling. But yet it's lumped in with the leisure sector. And so it's not going to perform. And the sentiment is so much again. It will change. It will change. And some of these stocks will rally very strongly and reflect the intrinsic value they're generating. But at the moment, they're not. You know, it's just hard work. It's like walking through treacle with lead boots on. It's just not, it's not going to, the sentiment's not there.
No, it's not. There's a bit of scuttlebutt. Yeah. You know, I went into a Marston's the other day, just because I had to wait a couple of hours for something. And it was a very strange pub in the middle of essentially a retail park, sat on a roundabout, which is next to the garden. Pretty grim old pub, albeit quite new. And I paid £6.50 for a pint of neck oil in the middle of an industrial estate in Norwich. Squeeze between a breed and aggregates and an auto glass. And you know, I do wonder how on earth, you know, I won't be going back there. That will be my one trip and only trip to that pub ever in my life. And I do wonder how pubs that, you know, can't offer value and don't offer anything else, I think they're the ones to worry about. I'm just looking at Marston's share price. And it's like, it tells the story there to me. I always had them down as a high quality operator, and this was anything but high prices, not high quality.
You sold that well. Go, you couldn't be more grim. Okay, let's just finish off. Top business stories here. Like I said, the controversial Rosebank offshore development, near Shetlands, has been granted consent by regulators. 80 miles west. God, that's far out, isn't it?
When's it coming on stream? It's something like 2025.
But the thing is, they've got to use electrification of certain parts of the operation, which is not going to happen until 2026. Equinor, Ithaca are there, could produce 200 million barrels of. This is what the MPs say. It could produce 200 million tons of carbon dioxide. So they asked me to do it. But worrying, though. Look at this. London office market in rental recession as vacancies hit 30-year high. London's in battle office markets in rental recession. In a note, this is Jefferies. They've downgraded, Land Securities, British Land, Derwent, and Great Portland has said. Estimated 20% contraction in London offices due to post-pandemic hybrid working and tenants' growing preference for greener buildings in the suburbs.
Yeah, and if you remember the other day, they also all bounced all the big, you know, London listed property groups on the sort of lower potential terminal rate for interest rates. You know, it's not a popular sector. They'll be trading at massive discounts to book value. Yeah. Look at that, geez. The other you know, point of note there is that a lot of building stock does not meet office building stock does not meet, you know, modern environmental legislation. Wow. So you've potentially got all these, you know, property white elephants sitting out there that would have to all intents and purposes be knocked down and replaced with greener buildings. Although that doesn't sound very green in itself, you know, very difficult to retrofit. Yeah. It's a tricky old market, and you know, tenants want different things now. You know, workforces want different things than these buildings previously offered.
Yeah.
You know, as a result of hybrid working and such like. So, yeah.
Well, by the way, go on.
No.
Yeah, but somebody did ask me. Look at because I did own some of these, and I sold. Like, they tripped out. I mean, I had a stop loss around about 140. I think it tripped out, but they are sort of semiconductor designer and all that silicon alpha wave IP. They come up with the results, right? And I didn't notice this. I read a note, but they actually breached their covenants, and they've expanded it. They've rearranged their covenants now, and they went from, they're growing very quickly top line, but all of a sudden they've gone from making a profit, because they only listed a while back, and says, why did you list in the UK? Because you could list in America. But their top line is, I mean, bookings up at 250% under 87. They are a £1 billion company, but their banking covenants, I don't know where it was, but if you look at it, they did breach their banking covenants, and they've gone to a loss, which was, God, there's lots of stuff here. Mm. Operating. So they made this is because they've acquired another company. They had a 30 million operating profit last half, and they've gone down to 2.5 this time. But even though, you know, this has gone up the top line, cost of sales have massively ballooned.
Yeah.
So
We're seeing that. I think a lot more. A lot more talk of banking covenants knocking around.
Yeah.
And that's what you'd expect. You know, you've seen an increase in the cost of borrowing. You're seeing business getting more difficult. So it's not a surprise to see more and more companies, running into those covenants. And, generally speaking, the bankers do offer leeway. There will be opportunities for companies to renegotiate those covenants, but they won't have those opportunities more than once or twice. So
no, I think it was a one-off thing because they acquired a company that cost a bit more.
Yeah, you do get that.
It listed, IPO'd really, as a new tech star in UK. They'd landed this IPO in the UK, and this was doing the end of the bull market. It went to 455 and just fell off a cliff. And you can see here, a couple of times it hit this support level of 120, went down below it, tried to get above it, couldn't do it, then broke up. And I bought some here, and they went up there and broke back down. And now we're back at that support level. So it'll be interesting to see if that holds, that 120 support level pretty much. But that was a little bit of a setback. I read through it. They didn't mention that they've gone to a loss pretty much. They just said, where was the guy? Tony Pialis said, we are successfully executing on our strategy. Didn't mention, each one we delivered a good set of results, scaling our business. We didn't mention you've gone into a loss. That wasn't part of the plan. I'm sure it wasn't. But I love the way they just glance over that. But anyway. Anything else, Johnny boy?
No, not I can think of. Plenty of news out there today, but that's enough for now.
That's enough. I'll leave the last word to Old Dog. We simply can't go on heating the seas and oceans of the world and melting the polar ice caps. Simple as that. True. Do you know what?
I think we should be moving. Hands in the air. I think we should be moving towards cleaner energy. And that's my view. So why I don't agree with it's like big drilling, new drilling campaigns. Absolutely not.
No. Yeah,
I know people disagree with me.
There will be people disagree. Of course, there will. But genuinely, I think the longer we extend these planning applications for oil fields, the slower it'll be before we can become energy secure on renewables. It'll just slow it all down. And I think we just need, because you can always buy oil and gas internationally. It's fine if you need to make up the shortfall. It's fine. Anyway, cheers to that. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, share button, all those buttons, as many buttons, just hit all the buttons you can see on that screen, and we'll catch up tomorrow. Cheers, Johnny.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.